The U.S. Senate has approved a controversial measure that would further toughen sanctions against Iran. The Senate's Banking Committee approved the so-called Kirk-Menendez bill with 18 votes in favor and 4 against. The supporters of the measure say the move is necessary to force Iran to reach a, quote, acceptable agreement in nuclear talks. The White House strongly opposes the measure, which could mar ongoing negotiations between Tehran and the P5+1. On Tuesday, U.S. senators agreed to delay a full Senate vote until at least March the 24th to allow international negotiators to reach a political framework agreement. But the Banking Committee finalized the bill's text on Thursday to revive the threat of new sanctions. Even if Congress passes the final Kirk-Menendez bill, President Obama is expected to veto it. Iran has repeatedly rejected Western claims that sanctions have pushed it to the negotiating table, stressing its goodwill in the talks. To discuss that further, we're now joined with Mr. Kaveh Afrasiabi, who is an author and political scientist, and he's joining us live now from Boston. Mr. Afrasiabi, how do you feel about this latest move? Of course, it wasn't unexpected at this point.
No, not at all. I think by now it's pretty clear that there is a division of labor between the Congress and the White House playing bad cop, good cop. And even the LA Times editorial today says that playing this bad cop constitutes bad policy. And, you know, the rest of the world, in Europe in particular, very wary of the U.S. Congress trying to hijack the Iranian negotiation by imposing some very unreasonable demands. And I'll give you just a couple of examples. You know, the bill, this pending bill, says that the U.S. president needs to certify that Iran does not conduct any missile tests exceeding 500 kilometers. It's a very arbitrary demand. And another one is the dismantling of all of Iran's uranium enrichment, as well as the heavy water reactor in Iraq. So obviously, the U.S. Congress is trying to meddle in the ongoing negotiations, impose its own very maximalist demands that run afoul of the separation of power between the legislative and the executive branches of the U.S. government. President Obama has vowed to veto this bill, and I don't think that the you know, the proponents of this bill have the 67 necessary votes to override his veto. This is a really dumb, unwise bill, untimely, because it says that, you know, if there is no resolution or, you know, breakthrough by March 24th, then they will go ahead and vote for it on the Senate floor. But, you know, the Geneva Agreement, the interim agreement, has been extended until July 1st, and the U.S. has pledged not to impose any new sanctions on Iran while the negotiations are ongoing. Therefore, if the U.S. Congress goes ahead with its threat and turns this into a legislation on March 24th or shortly thereafter, it's a clear violation of the U.S.'s pledge under the terms of the Geneva Agreement, and the rest of the international community will not go for it. So there are other problems and faults with this, one of which is that it really puts the U.S. At trade war with some of its trade partners, such as India and China, because it mandates, you know, a substantial decrease of oil delivery from Iran by these countries, and even countries that, you know, get Iranian oil and might sell it themselves. So there's a lot of faults with this legislation. I doubt that as the, you know, time approaches for their threatened deadline, many members of the Congress will see the wisdom to support it.
But certainly, I would imagine, Mr. Afrasiabi, you can understand that from the Iranian point of view, I would imagine that there's a lot of now nervousness, I guess, about any stability of any permanent deal that is signed with the U.S., considering in the future, at any point, if a Republican takeover does happen, that could simply be canceled.
Yeah, I mean, if this bill is forwarded and survives the presidential veto, then it basically torpedoes any chance of a nuclear negotiation with Iran, and even some U.S. experts from the Arms Control Agency have come out against it and have said that, you know, this will put the U.S. at odds with its European partners and will cause irreparable harm in the transatlantic relations that the U.S. has fostered under the guise of 5+1 in the Iran negotiations. So it's not just the, you know, trade partners such as China and India, but also the Europeans that the U.S. has to watch for, because, you know, this bill is very unwise, very untimely, and is really intended to kill negotiation and diplomacy under the guise of, you know, the supporting and bolstering the U.S.'s leverage at the negotiation. But its real intention is to kill negotiation and diplomacy.
Very well. We'll leave it there at that. But as always, we do appreciate you taking your time out to speak to us today. That was Mr. Kaveh Afrasiabi, who was speaking to us live from Boston. Well, the Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi says the, quote, marathon of nuclear negotiations with the P5+1 is not easy due to divisions within the other party. Araghchi was speaking after a four-hour meeting with his British, French, and German counterparts. He said differences are growing as talks move forward to examine details. He hailed the climate prevailing the negotiations, but said it was too early to say whether any progress has been made given the wide range of issues being discussed. The Iranian diplomat said efforts are being made so that an interim political agreement could be sealed by March. He stressed the need for seriousness, goodwill, and strong political will for a breakthrough in the talks. Prior to Thursday's meeting, Araghchi spoke of Tehran's efforts to speed up the process for a comprehensive agreement.
The aim is to accelerate the process in more intensive talks and find solutions to the remaining differences as soon as possible. Uranium enrichment and sanctions have always been the core issues, but other issues have also been discussed next to them. We will review all issues in every meeting. It is a technical, political, legal, many-sided process whose different aspects have to be examined and addressed at the same time.
On Thursday, Araghchi and the other Iranian diplomat Majid Takht-e-Ravanchi met with diplomats from Britain, France, and Germany. The deputy of EU's foreign policy chief, Helga Schmidt, was also attending the negotiations. Meanwhile, Iran says negotiations continue with the Chinese and Russian sides separately. Last week, the Iranian team met with U.S. diplomats in Zurich, Switzerland, where they reviewed their differences.